And may you and I just simply obey the Spirit of the Lord. Brother Tom, you come. Preach to our heart.
Thank you, sir. If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 31. It is a joy to be back in this place and with this people. I don't know how you feel about it, but it seems like this year's come by quicker now. For some reason, some of y'all are getting older. Losing your hair, and all kind of things. One of these days, it'll be the last meeting, won't it? Sad to say, some of you will still be here, and many of you will be gone. I want to be in that group that's gone, don't you? Oh, I want to be with that group. I don't want that to be with that group that's still here and wondering why we're still here. I want to be gone. I thank Him for the privilege to be here again in these days. It is in my heart in these six services, if the Lord would allow me, to look at one of the promises in the Bible. Of course, you're well aware that there are several hundred of them. And you say, don't you think we could take more than one? I'm sure we probably could, but I don't know if I'll be able to do any justice to this one in six services. When I started looking at this promise, I found that it was more familiar to me the last time it was mentioned in the Bible. I didn't realize that it had been mentioned numerous times prior to the last time, but the only time it was familiar to me was the last time it was mentioned. The last time the promise is mentioned is in the book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews says in the 13th chapter, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, and here's a little promise we want to look at these 6 days. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But that's the last time it's mentioned. Over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years of Bible history, he makes this promise 7 times. Not 5, not 6, he makes it 7. He wants to cross his T's and dot his I's. You know he's God, likes to do things like he wants to. And he mentions the promise 7 times. And if I could, I want to preach on this thought in these days, a promise worth repeating. Oh, yeah. He just felt like it was so good, he just thought he'd say it over and over again. Oh, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Of course, you know there's another reason why he repeats himself. You know, if he said it one time, it would have been fine. We ought to have gotten it. But he had to say it 7 times because there'll be some of us sitting right here. It'll be in Hebrews. Some of you will say, hey, I got it. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. He's going to be there for me. I don't care come hell or high water. He's going to be there for all my grand youngins, all my youngins. My whole family deserts me. He's still going to be there. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 this morning, and I want to look at the first 2 times the promise is mentioned, and I want to preach on this thought this morning, a promise worth parting with. Moses is fixing to die, and right before he dies, the Lord tells him this, Moses, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I don't know about you. You can have it your way if you want to. I don't want no angels coming after me when I die. I don't want to hear no fluttering around the bed. because there ain't no angels coming after me. He said he was a coming after me. I don't want no angels coming after me because they do not know the cross and they ain't never made it. He is the only one that has made the crossing and come back. He knows the way. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Huh? When it comes time to die, ain't looking for no angel to come after me. He said, I'm a coming to get you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Moses getting ready to die. I tell you what, when you get ready to die, you better make sure he knows you. It's not you knowing him going to help you. You better know he's with you. And he'll make the... Because I'm going to tell you something. That first step into the unknown is a doozy. It's a doozy. Better know for sure he's with you. Now with that thought in mind, let's read the text if we could, beginning at verse number 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out, come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy this nation before thee. Thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. The Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, to Og, the kings of the Amorites, unto the land of them whom he destroyed. The Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. Here it is, underline it. This is the first time he says it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of Bible history. He says it 7 times. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's saying it to you this morning, friend, if you're saved. I don't care what you're going through. He said, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. Hey, Moses, just in case they didn't hear you the first time, I'm going to say it one more time. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in the hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, thy strangers that are within thy gate, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach. You're fixing to die, Moses. Call Joshua. Present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him charge. Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, a promise worth repeating. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is God's promise of his omnipresence. He is always there. I don't care where you're going through. I don't care if it's cold spiritually. I don't care if it's warm spiritually. I don't care if it's lukewarm spiritually. I don't care if it's stormy spiritually. I don't care if it's sunny spiritually. I don't care if it's snowy spiritually. He said, I'll be there. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Moses is fixing to die. The Lord's giving him the promise for himself and for the people that he will never leave them nor forsake them. I did not know if you know this or not. It is impossible to invite God into any situation. Do not come and get in this altar this week and ask God to come and get in your situation. It's impossible for him to do it. How come? He's already there. It's impossible for you to go anywhere where you already are. When you, oh God, please come and get in our situation. It's impossible for him to do that. He's already there. I love the hound out of that. I wonder sometimes if God don't sit up on the banks of heaven and say, what did they say? Come where? I'm already there. Just acknowledge my presence. Huh? As we begin to look in this text, a promise worth parting with. I notice for Moses and these people, it involved a promise for future battles. A promise for future battles. God's prior dealings with us is an indication of how he will deal with us in the future. I was wondering this morning, I don't know how many of you would be able to raise your hand this morning. I hope a good group of you will. How many of you this morning could raise your hand and said, at some time or another, God has been good to me? Glory to God, it's 100%, except for the dummies that are looking at the floor. Charles Haddon Spurgeon made this statement. He said, God's people should never be surprised when he is good to them. If God is good to you this week, say, oh my word, I didn't know he was going to do that. I didn't know he was going to work that out. Future battles. Watch the text. I notice in this promise for future battles, I notice in verse number 3, there is a promise of arrangement. Did you know that God has arranged everything already? Did you know that he already knows if you're going to die with cancer or not? Didn't know if you know that or not. And if you are, you can go to every chemotherapy doctor in North Carolina, but you're still going to die with cancer. Hello. Promise of arrangements. He says in our text, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. Over before thee. The little phrase has the idea of one who goes to arrange the circumstances that they may come out as they have been written. He arranges all circumstances. Everything is going to come out like he wrote it. You're not going to change your lines at all. I love that, don't you? You can rest in that tonight. How come I would want to get a hold of that for, preacher? There is prior arrangements. God arranges all things. He goes before us for the purpose of arranging the setting. Can you prove that from the Bible? Here's what David said about it in Psalms 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David said, long before I got there, God, you got in front of me, you spread a table. He said, not only did you do that, you anointed my head with oil, and he said, my cup run over. And right in the middle of all of my enemies, all the imps of hell, he said, I am enjoying your presence. Huh? Prior arrangements. I love that. Promise of God's arrangements. All of God's arrangements are prior arranged. Did you know this morning that all of God's people, if you're here this morning and you're saved, all of us going to have the same end. Didn't know if you know that or not. What is it, preacher? They lived happily ever after. Huh? Ain't a one of us going to have any better end than that. said, I arranged it. I love that, don't you? We ought to just stop and shout, shouldn't we? Oh, I love it, I love it. Not only is there the promise of arrangements, but I notice in the text there is a promise of accomplishments. Promise of accomplishments. Look at the latter part of verse number 3 and verse number 4. He says, and he will destroy these nations before thee. Thou shalt possess him. Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said, and the Lord shall do unto them. He's going to give it. He says at the end of verse number 4, and he shall destroy them. There is a promise of accomplishments. He will destroy them. He shall do them. Hey, you got to promise me something this morning. Don't tell no Democrats and Republicans this secret. Don't tell them. We're in a battle this morning we already won. Don't let it out. Keep it to yourself. They'll put you in a nut house if they find it out. We already, Bill and Hillary, I don't give a flip how many Democrats they put across there. I don't give a flip how many Republicans they put over there. If Hillary gets in there, he already planned for her to get in there. And we still won. I love that, don't you? Huh? Care what they do over there, up there, anywhere else, as long as he's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, I love the promise of arrangements, the promise of accomplishments. But watch this. Notice in our text, oh, this is so important. Don't miss verse number 5. There is the promise of acknowledgement. Preacher, if he's done all of this, he goes before us, he arranges everything. He's already worked it out, so we've already won the battle. It's already accomplished. All of us are going to get the same end. We lived happily ever after. Preacher, doesn't he have some ulterior motive? What does he want out of me? Simply this. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. He wants you to acknowledge him. That's all he wants. Watch the text. Don't miss it. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show it to you. Verse number 5, and the Lord shall give them up. Watch these three words here. Before your face. God said, I'm doing everything I'm doing for you. He said, I'm doing it right in front of you. That little phrase, before your face. He said, I want you to see it and say, I did it. When is the last time you come over here and told the church, God's been good to me and I want to tell it publicly? Huh? That's all he wants. He loves it. He loves to be acknowledged. He loves to get the glory. Matter of fact, he says in our text in verse number 5, and the Lord shall give them up before your face that ye may do unto them according to all that he commands. He said, I conquered. He said, all you got to do is pick up the spoil. He said, I give, and all you got to do is richly enjoy it. I don't know about you, how you feel about it. We sure have got a good end of the stick. Huh? He's doing all the giving, and all you and I got to do is do all the taking. And every now and then say, whoop, glory to his name. He did it all. Huh? Ain't much to ask out of us. And most of us sit there like this. Huh? Are you listening to me? He wants some acknowledgement. Oh, he loves. See, he won't share his glory with nobody. He wants all the glory. He wants all the attention. He wants everything to be centered on him. Oh, I'm talking about the promise of acknowledgement. But go further in our text. Not only is there a promise for future battles, and I'm so hesitant to go to this second point because I am so afraid I'm going to lose most of you. I'm afraid you're going to drop off, oh, and just lose you. Second point now. To being able to say, hey, don't miss what we're going now. I'm fixing to die now. I don't know when it's going to be. I want to make sure when I take that step, I ain't a worrying if Beth's going to be with me. I ain't a worrying if my boys are going to be around to be it. I ain't a wondering if my grand young ones are going to be holding my hand and crying, oh, Mama, I'll die. No. I want to make sure when I take that step, he's there. I want to make sure he's there. Because, hon, if he's not there for you, you're going to be in trouble. Huh? You better make sure he has told you, not us collectively. He's told you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Because Moses is fixing to leave this world. And he's a fixing to part. So here's the second point. Not only is there a promise for future battles, but there's promise about a faithful book. If he's going to be there for you when you die, you must have a strong relationship with this book. What have I got to do with it, preacher? Don't miss the text. I'm just reading the text now. I'm just teaching the text. Look, if you've got your Bible, in verse number 11, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thy shall read this law. Preacher, what have I got to do with the Bible? Number one, read it. Read it. Read it. He said, read this law. What was that? First five books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Did you notice how many books of the Bible were written first in a collectively group? Five of them. Five is the number of what in the Bible? Song leader, tell me. You sung about, oh, thank you, grace, he said. He sung about grace. He told him, read about grace. About grace. Watch the text. Don't miss it. Verse number 10, Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year. Watch that little word, solemnity. That little word is a fixed, appointed time. He said, you'll find in these first five books of the Bible that you read about grace, he said, there'll be a fixed time appointed. A fixed time of appointment about what? Look at verse number 10. At the end of 7 years of solemnity of the year of release. That little phrase is the remission of a debt. Something being paid in full. Something being paid in full. Watch the end of verse number 10. In the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, when you find there has been a fixed appointed time, when there has been a payment made, he said there'll be a Feast of Tabernacles. What is the Feast of Tabernacles? It's a time of dancing and celebration that I've been set free. He said, you'll find that in the first five books of the law about grace. What is the center of the first five books of the law? The cross. The cross. The cross. Preacher, why in the world would I want to read my Bible? Get you to the cross. Get you to grace. Well, what in the world is getting to the cross and getting to grace going to do for me? Little old story, I don't know if it's true or not. I heard it when I was a little boy. Little boy in a little town in England. They had a gigantic cross in the center of the city. It was probably Catholic or Orthodox Greek, but they had a big cross in the middle of the city. And he got lost one day, couldn't find his way home. He stopped a policeman on the corner. He said, sir, can you help me find my way home? He said, what's your address? He said, sir, I do not know what my address is. He said, have you got any idea where you live, the general area? He said, sir, he said, if you can get me to that cross in the center of the town, he said, I can find my way home from there. First five books of the law. Moses said, if you want to make sure when you step out of here, he's with you, read it. Read it. I know this is going to be embarrassing. And I promise you, if God will help me, I don't want to embarrass you. It's not in my intentions. What I'm going to do right now is to embarrass you. My intentions is to help you. It has been 6 days since last Sunday. I want to ask you this morning to raise your hand if you have at least three times, 3 days, got your Bible out. I'm not talking about for a Sunday school class. I'm not talking about because you had to fill in and you wanted to make sure you had your lesson right. But just for your own personal needs, at least 3 days this week. That would only be 50%. I'm going to give you a break. 50% of 6 days. 3 days this week, preacher, I have gotten my Bible out and I have read it. Would you raise your hand if you have? Oh, my God, preacher, it ain't even 50%. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And you're saying you're going to heaven? Why would you want to go to heaven for? You'll be bored. It's all going to be about Bible. He said, read it. At least read it. If you're going to know for sure when you step out, I'm with you. I'm with you. You wondering why we're having dead services? I guarantee you. Oh, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you watched TV last night? Whoop. Oh, gracious, I'd be scared to do that, wouldn't you? Read it. Read it. Read it. So important. You're going to know him. You're going to know him. I was with somebody not long ago, and they told me, said they had asked their pastor, been preaching 10 years, asked their pastor if he'd ever read his Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. Been pastoring 10 years. He said, no, he never had. I tell you what, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you're a preacher, you never read your Bible through and you've been saved for years, quit it! You don't know your subject matter. Read it. What else have I got to do? I'm talking about a promise, about a faithful book. Not only read it, but look at verse number 11. He says, and when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place of which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law. Then verse number 16, he said, read the law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, children, thy strangers within thy gates, that they may hear it. Got to read it. Got to hear it. That little word hear is an interesting word. It means to give an ear, an audience, with the question or the intentions of unquestioning obedience. Please forgive me. You know, I was wondering not long ago, I was wondering if there was some kind of nuclear problem during the Bible days when Jesus was here, and maybe there was some kind of nuclear explosion and it messed up the water. How come you think that, preacher? Because he's all the time making this statement, he that hath ears, let him hear. I was wondering, you reckon that whole crowd he preached to didn't have no ears on the side of their head? They were all earless. No. He's not talking about these kind of ears. He's talking about these kind of ears. There's some of you a moment ago. I embarrassed the hound out of you. I saw you and your face went to the floor because you couldn't raise your hand. Did you read your Bible three times this week? What kind of embarrassment you think it's going to be when he asked you? He's going to judge us out of this book. He's going to open the Bible and judge you. You can whine, suck your thumb all you want to and tell him you didn't have time to read it. It won't float with him. Be judged from Genesis or Revelations. Read it. Hear it. Matter of fact, he says in the Mark's gospel, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you put in your ears. He says in Luke's gospel, take heed how you hear, how you listen, how you take it in. Not only do we need to read it, not only do we need to hear it, verse number 12, he said that they may learn it. Uh-oh, whoo, man, that's a big step there, studying it. Got to read it, got to hear it, got to study it. That's going to be a big step for some of you because you ain't even starting where ain't you? That means you got to take the words apart. That means you would have something crazy like a concordance and Bible books on your library. You'd want to get them out. Maybe you got them down by your easy chair so you got quick reference to study the Word of God. Can you imagine what in the world would happen around here if a bunch of people would get together every Sunday and they have been hearing, they've been reading, and they've been studying, whoa, and then the preacher comes along and confirms what you've been reading, what you've been studying, ain't no telling, maybe some of you might get your hands up in the air and start a shout. Huh? Oh, I'm talking about a promise about a faithful book. Last point, and I'm done. Not only is there a promise for future battles, there's a promise about a future book. Chapter number 31, verse number 7, there's a promise of a full benediction. Preacher, how come I want to read my Bible? How come I want to study my Bible? How come I want to hear my Bible? It's the only way you will know for sure. I'm promising you, you that do not have a close connection with your Bible, when it comes time for you to die, you'll wonder if he's there or not. I'm not telling you be lost. Some of you might go to heaven, not even know you're going to heaven. Huh? You will not feel his manifested presence around you like you will feel if you have a close. Old Martin Luther, the one that started the Reformation, he said, and this is what he got in such trouble with. I just finished studying Martin Luther's life. He got in such trouble with the Catholic Church. You know what the crazy nut believed? He believed that this Bible was alive. He believed the thing. He said he believed it was breathing. Huh? What? Hey, why in this world would you want to leave anything at your house? Some of you ain't even got a Bible with you this morning. How come you would want to leave something laying around your house? You, when you left the house this morning, it was doing this. And when you get back to the house this afternoon and you leave it again this afternoon, come back tonight, it'll be there. Old Martin Luther thought the thing was breathing, and he believed the thing talked. He said he believed that if you would open it and read it, it would talk to you. Ain't that the craziest thing in the world? Talk to you. I have found it to be true. Very seldom will I ever get this Bible out on a daily basis and open it, read it, hear it, and study it, that it don't talk to me. Did you know that some of you young people here this morning are fixing to make some of the most major decisions that you've ever made in your life? You're going to choose what kind of vocation you're going to choose. You're going to choose your mate. And I notice a number of you did not raise your hand that you even read 50%. You got a 50-50 chance of multiple choice of being wrong with the one that you choose for your wife or husband and the direction you choose for your vocation. Whoa! Go for it! I tried it before. You make a mess. Huh? You listening to me this morning? I'm talking about a promise of a full benediction. Look at chapter 31, verse number 7. Notice this full benediction. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Watch that little word strong there. It means to fasten on, to bind to hold to tenaciously. Did you notice where that little statement comes before? It comes before read it, hear it, listen to it. He said, get your Bible and hold to it tenaciously. Read it tenaciously. Hear it tenaciously. Study it tenaciously. Be strong. Watch that little word there, be strong and of a good courage. I love that little word, good courage. It means to be alert, on guard, have the chin up. Have the chin up. I was watching a football game not long ago, and a young boy missed a pass, and they would have won the game. And I noticed when he come to the sidelines, he's like this. He looked like most Baptists that come to church. He was standing over on the sidelines, and he was just looking at the ground. I love the hound. The defensive coach come by him like this. And when he got to him, he just slowed down a little bit, put his thumb under his chin, went like this. See, if you're in your Bible reading, studying, and learning, and you have a tendency to want to be down, the good Holy Ghost will come by and do this. You'll feel Him. You'll sense Him. You'll know that He's there. How come? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love that, don't you? It's a helping me while I'm a preaching. Not only is there a perceptive benediction, but if you've got your Bible and I'm hurrying, I know it's time to go. I know the preacher has you out long before this every Sunday. Chapter number 34. Promise of a full benediction. Perceptive benediction. There's a precious benediction. Moses is going to die. Look at chapter 34. Look at verse number 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mount of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him. Preacher, what good would it do for me to read my Bible? What good will it do for me to hear my Bible? What good will it do for me to learn my Bible? It's awful simple. He'll show you some things. He'll show you some things. He'll show you some things. You know how come some of you ain't seeing nothing? You ain't looking. You ain't looking. You get this book out and you read. And you correct me if I'm wrong. Come back by me this morning and correct me. Say, you know, preacher, I meant to raise my hand, but I just didn't get it up in time. Please correct me that there was more than a quarter of you this morning that raised your hand and said at least 50% of the time I read my Bible in a week. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But it's not just here. Everywhere I've gone and asked that question, past 5 or 6 months, it's about the same. It's about the same. Few more, few less. Just depending upon people. We're such a busy people. We're living in the fast lane. We're trying to make a living. Trying to collect us more stuff to dust, you know. You know, stuff we want to take to heaven with us when we die. Huh? Our go-karts and our mopeds and all. You know, we want to take that stuff with us. You know, there'll be tracks up there in heaven for us to ride on. No. Are you listening to me? He showed him some things. Watch the text. Don't miss it. Verse number 2. Verse number 4. And the Lord said unto him. Not only did he show some things, he said some things to him. God speaks through his word. Oh, can you imagine? Some of you have come here before Preacher Scott would preach and God speak to your heart. Did you know you ain't got to wait till next Sunday for that to happen? You can get along with your Bible tomorrow. God will do the same thing to you. He'll speak to you. Talk to you. Of course, I've heard tell if you ain't never seen nothing, he ain't never said nothing to you, you won't say nothing. You keep your mouth shut. Huh? Showed something. Watch this. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even show this to you. We're talking about a promise of a full benediction. There is a precious benediction. Not only will he show you some things, he'll say some things, but the Lord specialized. Look at verse number 5. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab. Time out! Hold on! Where's Moses buried? Nobody knows. How come? God buried him. He specializes in funerals. He was Moses' pallbearer. He was Moses' grave digger. You know, please forgive me. I know this sermon's getting long because I've been thinking. But I've been thinking, wonder how he dug that grave. Huh? You don't think he had no shovel, do you? Don't you reckon he said, 6x6, woo-woo! Close grave. Boom. I love the hound out there, don't you? He's the God that's with us. Never leave us nor forsake us. He knows where he's buried. He knows where he put him. How come? He said, Moses, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love the hound out of this. Don't miss this part of it. Look at verse number 6. He buried him in the valley of the land of Moab over against Baal Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Look at verse number 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim. He didn't need no glasses, nor his natural force abated. He was as strong when he was 120 as he was when he was 40. Hey, Let's get the Monday night Miami CSI group out of here. Let's get the Wednesday night New York CSI group over here. And let's get the Thursday night Las Vegas CSI team over here. And we're going to do a body autopsy on Moses' body. We finally found his body in the Valley of Peor. We're going to do tissue samples. We're going to check out every body part. If there's any of the stomach left, which I don't think, but we'll check the stomach content. And we're going to run a total tox screen on Moses. All three. Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Going to come back with this results. We don't know how the man died. The only thing we can figure is that he died healthy. I love that, don't you? Don't you want to die healthy? Huh? Don't you want to die because God thought it was time for you to die and he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Oh, it is a precious benediction. Back in chapter 31, I just mentioned this and we're done. It's a promising benediction. Two times, verse number 6, verse number 8, he says, I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. The little word fail means to slacken the grip on one. I hear people all the time talking about, I'm holding to the Lord. How do you do that? I ain't never tried to hold to him. He said, I'm holding to you. He said, I'll never slacken the grip on you. Fail you. That little word forsake means to commit to self, to leave alone, leave destitute, or refuse to help. He said, I'll never leave you alone. He said, I'll never fail to help you when you ask me. He said, I'll never leave you destitute. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When all around my soul gives way, then he's my only hope and stay. When you're called to walk into the dark of the unknown, when it's time for you to make the great crossing from this world to the next world, I tell you, you want a promise. You want a promise worth parting with. I was thinking in closing this morning. Dear preacher friend of mine, I preach a meeting for him every year. He has a lady in his church. She has a horrible problem with depression. He said it seems to strike her at night. She said, it's just an awful dark cloud. She said, it's just the horriblest time to go to sleep. She said she's been having to take pills to go to sleep. Just such darkness, such depression. He told her not long ago. She asked him, she said, preacher, you got any ideas what I could do? He said, oh, yes, ma'am, I could tell you what to do. He said, before you go to bed, he said, read large amounts of this book. And then he said, take this book to bed with you. He told her, he said, you remember when you used to have those little silkies or you had a teddy bear? He said, make like this Bible's your silky, your teddy bear. And he said, just hug up with it all night. Are you listening to me? After about 3-4 months, she come back. She said, preacher, it's a helping me. I've stopped taking my pills. I'm a sleeping at night. She said, with my teddy bear, with my silky. She done took something to bed with her that's alive. It's real. That's a breathing. Telling you, this is a powerful book this morning that a number of you said you hadn't read it 3 times since last Sunday. I was thinking in closing this morning, a promise worth parting with. A little boy, 2.5 years old in the Atlanta area, recently died in Eagleston Hospital. When the little boy went in, they found that he had 27 cancerous tumors in his body. They were all inoperable. The mama said his death was horrible. She said prior to his death, you couldn't touch him. They had him in a hammock affair where nothing touched him, no clothes or anything. To touch him, he would just scream out in horror. But she said night after night before he died, he would lift his hands up and say, "Mama, hold me. Mama, hold me." She said she couldn't hold him. She said she tried it once or twice, and she said it was so horrible, the screams that come out of his little body. So she said, "I began to talk to him about how it would feel if I did hold him." She said, "I began to tell him how I'd put my arms around him and how I'd pull him up." She said it began to help him a little bit. She said the night he died, she said, "I noticed that he had his arms up in the air." She said, "I thought for me to hold him. But," she says, "I noticed his little eyes were not focused on me. But," she said, "they were focused on the ceiling." She said it was like he had caught something up there on the ceiling that he wanted to, for that whatever it was he could see to hold him. She said when he finally finished dying and his breath was gone from his body, she said his arms were locked in a holding position. He done seen something out there. Oh, he done seen that one and said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And he had gotten his arms around him. He had come for the party. I want to die like that, don't you? I tell you, it'll not happen to you this morning if you've got a loose relationship with this. Oh, no, 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 no. I ain't telling you ain't going to heaven. Oh, no, I'm sure some of you will go to heaven. Like I said, it'll surprise you. I want to know of his manifested presence. Would you stand with us this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed.